Chapter 5. The True Spirit of Life is Found Outside the Camp. And ye shall give it unto Eleazar, the priest, that he may bring it forth outside the camp. And one shall slay it before his face. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take of its blood with his finger, and sprinkle of its blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. Numbers 19, 3 and 4. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Hebrews 13, 13. In the above verses, we go back to the events that took place at the offering of the red heifer. Notice that this offering was only done outside the camp. This speaks of rejection and not being found among the congregation, as was seen from the Hebrews passage above. Remember that Jesus was crucified on Golgotha, which was also outside the camp. Similarly, though, God had already anointed David as king and head of Israel, yet he too was rejected outside the camp. But it was there that he grew, became strong, and learned to trust not in riches, power, or position, but God. It is for this reason that God encourages us in the book of Hebrews to go forth unto him outside the camp. The real point of emphasis is not that we go outside the camp, but that we go unto him. A person can be rejected and considered not to be in, yet still have more of the spirit of the thing than a person who is actually physically located in the camp. Our physical location or social status should not be nearly so important as our present spiritual state before and with the Lord. This can be seen in the fact that the blood of the red heifer was sprinkled 7 times toward the holy place, but it was never taken there. It was there in spirit, though, rejected out from the camp. It may have been more pure of a sacrifice than a lot of the sacrifices that actually happened in the holy place. The proof of this is the fact that Jesus' sacrifice on Golgotha had more of the spirit of what God had in mind than all of the sacrifices that took place that Passover day within the camp. When outside the camp, do not let the feeling of rejection get to you. You may be outside the camp of those who worship together, but are you in Christ, where there is no condemnation? Never forget that there is a difference between persecution, being an outcast, and condemnation. The great truth of the offering of the red heifer is that it chooses its place outside the camp. It is not just thrown out. Those who join in the spirit of the red heifer are not just going outside the camp, but are going unto him who first initiated this spirit. Those who have the spirit of this sacrifice do so, not because they are defiled, but because they are willing to be looked upon as a reject, in order to reach others who truly will be rejected if something does not happen. They know that they are not rejected of God, and therefore are safe in their relationship with him, but they are concerned for others who are not so steady. Red heifer, we are his body. We have written much about the spirit released by the loss incurred by the red heifer, and how the ashes, though completely reduced, have mighty power in them. They are similar to the old decaying bones of Elijah that, when a dead man touched, life flooded into him again. But all these things do not just apply to Jesus, who was the fulfillment of all offerings, including that of the red heifer. They are meant to have meaning to us today also. When Jesus walked the earth, he carried himself toward others as an example of the way we should be after the resurrection. Before the cross, the only body Jesus had available to work through was his own physical body. Therefore, we see Jesus moving through the congregation of Israel, ministering life everywhere he went, and unto everyone he touched. When we see him in this way, in the Gospels, we tend to place ourselves outside of Christ, even unto this day. In other words, we still tend to view the present situation as if we are the congregation, and Jesus still comes and touches us, but the only difference is that now he is in spiritual form. While this has a certain degree of truth, we have allowed this to overrule greater truths since the resurrection. Now we are not just the congregation of God, but are the very body of Christ. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants to minister to people, but now the body through which he touches us is not his physical body, but through his risen body, which is us. We are now supposed to operate as Jesus' hands that touch others, and are supposed to be his feet that carry him to others. Again, we are quick to put ourselves outside the body and want to be the one he is coming to touch. Like Israel, we have tried to make ourselves the object of his blessings, instead of being the channel of it as we function as the vehicle and body of Christ's life. Just as Elijah's decaying body, though reduced down to nothing except bones, yet they were life-giving, even so we are declared to be bone of his bone. As one with Jesus, we are to be functioning by releasing life into the congregation, and not death. Red heifer, touched by life in the Spirit. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9, 13, and 14. In this New Testament scripture, we begin to bring all the pieces together. We find the contrast of the two main elements described in the words purge from dead works to serve the living. We also find that specifically what the ashes of the heifer was meant to communicate was the eternal Spirit behind its being given, and not just the facts and freedom of the offering itself. Right now, those who belong to Jesus Christ ought to be functioning by this eternal Spirit, and not by the knowledge of good and evil. When we are filled with life, no obstacle is too great, and things that usually bother us no longer pull us down. When our eyes have seen past the problem and into the nature of God, the answer far outweighs the issue. The only requirement, then, is that we are willing to follow the Lamb outside the camp and into his death, so that those who have become defiled by death might now receive of his life. The power behind the ashes is the death of Christ that brought them forth. The value of the ashes is the eternal Spirit offering himself to God for others. This same Spirit works in those who bear the dying of the Lord Jesus in their mortal flesh. It is the very nature and way of God's life. And yet it is hidden to those who only see issues of good and evil. When we see Jesus walk this earth, we see him heal the sick, raise the dead, and feed the hungry. We can easily reduce those events down to the subject of power and healing. However, I think the issues are greater than these. When Jesus did these things, he was responding to the death, lack, and injustice all around him, with a mind and nature that has never touched death in the partaking of the knowledge of good and evil. He responds by life and is ever giving to that which does not deserve it. He is not pulled down into darkness of death all around him, but rather is ever influencing it with a gracious outpouring of life. We have seen how having the knowledge of good and evil and operating by it only brings death to the congregation. We have also seen the beauty of the ashes giving life through death to that which was dead and deserves death. As we come to know the Lord in ways pertaining to who he really is by nature, we will tend to function more according to the ways of his life. As his body, we are called to release life and be the vehicle of life to others. There is very little recognition and honor given to men to something so insignificant as ashes. Even to this day, that which appears base and foolish confounds those who are mighty and wise. What is the dying of the Lord Jesus? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. This person who needed the ashes of the red heifer was supposed to be bearing about in their body Jesus' dying. What does that mean? First, we must understand that the act of Jesus giving himself on the cross over 2,000 years ago is what saved us. Then we must realize that Christ's death on the cross crucified the old man, whereby I can now live by the life of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. But Christ living in you and me brings up a whole other aspect of the cross that many have yet to perceive. The realization of the aspect I am referring to comes as we discover that Jesus is a lamb. That is his nature. According to his nature, Jesus lays down his life for others, particularly for the needy, defiled, and ungodly. Romans 5:6-8. Most seem to know and believe it is true how the Lord gives his life for the benefit of even the worst of mankind. But we fail to acknowledge that this same Jesus is in us and, if allowed to live in us, will operate the same way. This is what the scripture is referring to when it talks about believers bearing the dying of the Lord Jesus in their mortal bodies. This Lamb, who is now the life of the believer, lays down his own rights and life to bring others into God's fullness. In the case of the man needing the ashes of the red heifer, he did so because he had gone back to living by the life and viewpoint of fallen man. This is what touching death is all about. We touch and identify with a mind and life that was dead to God and was put to death with Christ on Calvary. We leave the life of the Lamb and his heart concerning the ungodly. We will never give ourselves for the undeserving and compromising masses. We will judge them. Only by us bearing about in our body his dying, self-giving nature will we have the spirit in which the red heifer gave himself. Only by the ashes of that sacrifice and through releasing that spirit will there come a true reconciling and eventual change for those who deserve rebuke and rejection. The princes of this world do not understand this spirit, for had they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. If they had comprehended that his giving of himself in this spirit would be the true answer that led to the release of all rebels, ungodly, and uncaring men, they would have approached all this in a different way. Through Christ, we allow death to work in us in order to bring about life in others. 2 Corinthians 4:12. This spirit, released by ashes, is the spirit of the life that we have received. It is in the releasing of this spirit that we comprehend why God crucified us and put the life of his Son in us as earthen vessels. This is the life you are called unto.